WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the student section this Friday night on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. My name is Jalen Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host, Connor Rolls. How are you doing tonight, Connor?
I'm doing quite swell, as always.
Yes, sir. All right. So we are officially 16 days away until the NBA playoffs, and I guess we can go ahead and get started with our NBA predictions. And do you want to get started with the all-NBA teams first, or do you want to do the awards?
Let's do awards first, because I feel like that would give, like, I feel like the all-NBA teams would give away some of our awards.
Okay, that's a good point. So why don't you start things off? So we can start with you choose the award, and you can kick it off.
I'll just say we'll go down the line. So first off, we're going to start off with MVP, you know, the most valuable player. I think there's been a lot of debates over this.
Yes.
The last couple of years. And I know there's been a lot of heated debates between two different fan bases. Maybe three. You might throw in the Bucks fans as well. But it's between the Nuggets and Jokic and Joel Embiid and the Sixers. And honestly, I believe wholeheartedly that Joel Embiid should have won last year. I think they should be 1-1 right now.
I'll give you that. I believe Embiid should have won last year.
I think it finally catches up, and I think Joel Embiid will win his final MVP. It sucks because Jokic just had a great season. Joel Embiid's had an equally great season. Jokic triple-double, cool. But I don't think he played a bigger part as Joel Embiid in the Sixers. I mean, you looked at when they played, they faced off the first game, and the Sixers won by, I think it was either 10-plus.
Yeah, you were at that game.
I was at that game. He had 47 points. He had, 10, 11 boards.
Joel Embiid, right?
Yes, yeah. Joel Embiid. No, I think he had 18 boards. Yeah. I'm thinking of the Jazz game when he had 60, but whatever. We'll not get into that because I guess that doesn't matter. But the 47, the 18 boards and all that, while he held Jokic to 28-9. So I think that speaks factors. And they played again without Joel Embiid this time. And we look at the box score, and I think they only lost by 5. But if you watch the game like I did, there was no way we were winning that game. We were down by, I think it was near 30 points somewhere in the third quarter.
Right.
So that just shows you how impressive he is.
Yeah, the Nuggets were definitely trying to lose that game in the fourth. I think they gave up, 25 and, 4 runs or something?
I think they sat everybody. So everyone just started playing, Sixers. They like to come back even though they get blown out the entire game. And the thing that makes me mad is that's when Joel Embiid lost the favorite. But then you have the same thing. Jokic comes out against a great team. I think it was I forget what team he played, but they're like, no, we're going to sit him with knee injury. But everyone applauds him for it because he's such a hard worker and everything. Where's all that love to Joel Embiid, who
he's coming off a back-to-back against the Warriors where he single-handedly put up 40 and almost won the game for him. But
I just think there's a double standard, and I think it's Joel Embiid's year.
Do you think it's like the Kendrick Perkins double standard, or?
Explain.
Do you think Kendrick Perkins, when he had that whole, there's a narrative between European players and players who I'm trying to say how J.J. Redick came at Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to explain. That kind of aspect of where he was just saying how there's been a media trying to set up between a false narrative. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think so. Yeah, I think it almost is at that level. But I think the media is just trying to paint a picture on these two guys, and I don't know. I feel people are just hating on Joel Embiid for so much because he gets to the free throw line a lot. But if you look at his game, yes, there are times where he flops and does that stuff. But a lot of it, it's you can't guard him. So you have to create contact. He's too quick for his size. He's too strong for really anybody. I think it's too hard to guard him, and I think they foul him too much, but he gets the free throw merchant nickname painted all over him where it hurts his reputation.
Well, I'm going to kind of rebuttal. I am actually going to go on the Jokic side of things.
Blasphemous.
To your point earlier, you know how you're talking about the games?
Yes.
Well, so the first matchup, obviously Embiid got the better hand of Jokic, dropping 40-something points. Mm-hmm. But I think Jokic got the better of him the second matchup.
He didn't play the second matchup.
Exactly. That's my point.
That's your point.
I know it's kind of, it's not fair to Joel Embiid, but I do think when it's been as close as a race ever since, I think it was since 1989. This is the closest MVP race we've ever had. And now I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think Joel Embiid is going to get all the first place votes, but I think Jokic is going to win it. I think it's
that makes no sense at all.
Let me explain. Because in 1989 to 90 overall season, Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan were all very close. It's a very similar situation, very close and closely tied placed for MVP votes. Magic Johnson finished with 27 first place votes, and then I believe Charles Barkley had like the second, like. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I messed that up. Charles Barkley had all the first place votes, but Magic Johnson had all the second place votes. Magic Johnson had, since he had more second place votes and third place votes, he won the MVP. So I believe that would be a similar situation with Joel Embiid. I believe he will get all the first place votes, but I believe Nikola Jokic will somehow get all the second votes and the third votes that will somehow get him to the MVP. Because I do think this is just a crazy case of like two insane big men, generational big men going at it, both in their primes. I mean, you look at the stats, Jokic is putting up 25 on 60, like basically 65% shooting, 40% from three, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. And he's getting, I think, about a steal a game. And then obviously Embiid's averaging 33 points a game on 55% shooting. And then he's shooting 34% from three, so not nearly at the same rate as Jokic, but I mean, like, obviously he's dominating more inside. And then nearly the same amount of rebounds. Jokic probably has double the amount of assists, but clearly he doesn't have nearly the numbers of blocks like that Embiid does. So I just think the conversation is a little bit close, but I do think Jokic is going to pull away with it. And I hate how the media is putting these two like against each other.
They're making it seem like this is villains. The championship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And especially, I think, and it's funny because Embiid has talked about he doesn't care about this award, but you know he cares.
Oh, he definitely cares.
He definitely cares. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I just really think like something weird's gonna happen. Maybe a co-MVP this year, first time ever.
Before we move on, I just want to state something. Yes, Nikola Jokic is cool, all that, average triple double. That's a big deal. Whatever. But and we can just look at Joel Embiid. I mean, he is a big man in the NBA, leading the league in scoring from, you know, just doing everything. We can look at his season stats and 33 points per game averaging, right? Get that. 54% from the field, 34% from three, while he shoots at least, he averages around like 5, 4, 3s a game, which, mind you, that's impressive for his size at least. Averaging 10 rebounds a game and four assists, a steal, and two blocks. He's leading the league in scoring, right? Mind that. A big man leading the league in scoring. You know who was the last big to do that? Oh, Joel Embiid, last year.
That's true.
Back-to-back years leading the league in scoring as a big man? That's I want to say that's quite impressive. And let me just bring you to the, you know, most impressive stat of all, because there was no such thing as a stat line before this year. And this is why Joel Embiid is a better player, because he's a better all-around player. Jokic is a disgrace on defense. He's slow. He might get lucky on steals.
He has good quick hands.
He has quick hands.
He's not
slow
as good,
feet,
but yeah.
Can't jump, so that he can't really block shots.
There was a time where he was going viral on Twitter for his defensive efforts.
Joel Embiid on 37 minutes against the Utah Jazz. Mind you, Walker Kessler is a defensive player of the year candidate, in my opinion. 59 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, and 7 blocks. Yeah. 7 blocks. Almost a quadruple double. I just want to throw it out there.
I just think they're two different players, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think
they're two different players, but you got to, like,
that's what I'm saying.
People got to stop just saying, okay, there's only one side of the game, when clearly there's not.
But I just think, well, that's one thing. I feel like when you talk about, like, do you think Joel Embiid changes the pace of a game as much as Nikola Jokic?
Yes. I do.
You do? Okay.
Because you can't, you drive on the paint. You're not doing anything. We've seen John Morant. He goes up on a lot of people, and he finishes a lot. That game against Joel Embiid, he got stuffed. What? Let me look it up real quick, but I'm pretty sure he had 5 blocks.
I think he did. Yeah, you're talking about the comeback win against Memphis?
Yes.
Yes, I think it was something like that.
Like, you don't see Jokic doing that. He affects the game in more ways than just the offense. Saying,
like, yeah, that's true, but I'm like, he doesn't change the pace defensively. But I would say
six blocks.
Yeah, six blocks. I will give you that. He doesn't change. I will say he changes the pace more offensively in like terms of getting the rebound, going off court, and even the half court.
I can agree with that, but I don't want to say I stat padding. Yeah, whatever. I do not want to say that he stat pads, but I feel like a lot of assists are more on his teammates than the actual like players, because Jokic does make some crazy passes and stuff like that. You know, Joel Embiid has, I say he has good vision, but it's all about shot makers. If you have a player like Michael Porter Jr., who you pass the ball to, who does not pass whenever he gets up, he jacks up shots every time. It doesn't matter if it's contested or whatever. You pass him the ball, he's automatically shooting it, which means your assist percentage is going up.
Right, but I don't think, I understand your point. And also because, like, Sixers aren't really that great when it comes to catch and shoot threes.
Yeah.
They've gotten better, especially James Harden's definitely gotten better, and Tyrese Maxey. But, you know, they're not Jamal Murray. They're not.
I feel like there's more assist opportunities on the Nuggets.
They're not Kontavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah, KCP.
I couldn't think of his name for a second. But, like, to your point, but also at the same time, I don't think that should be a factor.
I don't want to say it knocks him, but it's like.
Right.
It's just like, okay, maybe it diminishes the value a little bit, I say.
I see what you're saying. But like I think it's going to be a close battle, and I can't wait to see who wins it. Either whoever wins, it's both deserving. But for the should we move on to the next award?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So for the next award, Defensive Player of the Year. So I'm going to start this one.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Start it off.
So for my nomination, I'm going to go. I have two nominations. My first nomination is any Milwaukee Bucks player.
Any
like Brooke Lopez, Giannis, Drew Holiday, like. I don't anyone that team is so good defensively. I think like they're obviously the leaders of that defense,
mm-hmm.
but I just think that's how speaks how good to their team that defense has been as a whole. Like everyone,
okay.
I just think like I wouldn't be mad at any of those options. But I think the clear cut winner is definitely Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I think you could make an argument for Bam, but like Miami's defense has been terrible recently, and it looks like they're just all getting completely lost. I think Jimmy Butler talked about it in the press conference like about how like no one's communicating. So. I just think this is Jaren Jackson Jr.'s year, and I know Brady's not here, but this is Brady's prediction earlier in the year.
It was.
Give him some credit. But yeah, I it looks like he's more disciplined now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's taken more of a leadership like effort since the whole John Morant stepped away and incident. Him and you know, you got to give some credit to Dylan Brooks as well.
I will never give credit to Dylan Brooks.
I know,
Brooks.
And like, I don't as much. I have nothing against Dylan Brooks, but I will give him credit when I feel like he's balling out. So I feel like he definitely stepped up while that incident took place. But Jaren Jackson's my vote for Defensive Player of the Year.
So I agree with you. I do. I remember early on in the year I said Matisse Thybulle, who. He has the quality to be Defensive Player of the Year. It's if he can get on the court with his offense.
Yeah, and that's really the issue.
We figured that out pretty early, and I was wrong about that. But our co-host Brady, who is not here today, he's on a little tournament run, but he was correct, and I called him out on it. I will admit, I said there's no way he wins it because of his injury problems and his foul troubles. I thought he would take himself out of the award with games played and just fouls. But I was wrong. I did not expect him to have this kind of year.
Yeah, no. I mean, credit to the – they're an interesting storyline. We can get into that later because I definitely have some questions about, like, their playoff chances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, how far they can go. But we'll get into that later. So I think we're on the same page when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year. Let's go ahead and move on to the Most Improved Player.
Most improved?
Yeah. Why don't you start this one?
So, I know there's a lot of talk for Gaia out in Utah, Lauri Markkanen, which I can obviously see. He's improved his points per game by an insane amount. He's increased his shooting percentages by an insane amount. He was an all-star. It's like, I do want to give him that. He's been a great player.
But
there's a guy out in New York.
Oh, gosh. Do we have the same player? I think we might have the same player.
Who was a role player on the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, yeah, we had the same player.
He signed a fat contract.
We're 2-for-2.
Everyone hated on it. You're like, oh, man, he's going to be a role player, you know, putting up 18 points per game, whatever. He comes out, 25, 30 points, 35.
Balling.
He is a certified baller.
All career highs.
everything, career year. I think no one saw it coming. I think it's going to go to Lauri Markkanen, honestly. But my pick is Jalen Brunson.
And I agree with you. I honestly thought I might have you there and like have a little pick that was outside the box. But really? I guess that wasn't really outside the box. But yeah, I'm completely with you. I think with that storyline, the redemption for the Knicks this year has been huge. I like Lauri Markkanen too because like no one had any expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they're not making a run as nearly as the Knicks. And like, and like, I just feel like Jalen Brunson, like, no one.
I feel
one,
like Jalen Brunson just helped that team out.
Yeah. Like, that's
exponentially.
So, wow, that was actually kind of, I'm surprised that we both had the same pick right there. So, I guess we can move on to the next one. So, the next one is Sixth Man of the Year. I'll start. I'm going to go with my original pick when we started the predictions earlier in the year. I had Malcolm Brogdon, and I'm gonna stick with Malcolm Brogdon on the Celtics. I just think he's probably been the most consistent. One thing about these awards, you can kind of make the case for any Kings player, and I kind of like Malik Monk too. But I don't think this case is as nearly as strong as Malcolm Brogdon. And you saw what the Celtics did like earlier this season. I think what are they, the second seed now? Yeah,
they are, and they just beat the Bucks by 41 points. So I mean, I can see that
right now.
For me, I think I saw my original pick was Russell Westbrook, who honestly, it was working out while he was still the sixth man.
Yeah.
So I think he would have won it if he stayed with the Lakers and kept winning, and he was putting up good numbers.
You saw what he did for the Clippers.
Exactly. Year. What was it, like 37 points?
Yeah, like prime Russ.
But I think it's another Lakers product. I think when LeBron went out, Austin Reeves stepped up. I think he's been very, very helpful in his contributions coming off the bench for this Lakers team. He's becoming a fan favorite. I just think there's no way you can really think of a sixth man without thinking of Austin Reeves because of what he did while all these injuries were taking place with AD, with LeBron. Even during the trade deadline, he was still performing coming off the bench.
Yeah, he's probably been one of the most consistent piece on that Lakers team. I mean, aside from, like, obviously LeBron.
Yeah. So that's just my thoughts. Sixth Man of the Year, Austin Reeves.
I like it. I can't hate on it. Plus, I think it was funny how the NBA dropped an hour-long video of an Austin Reeves highlight reel.
I feel like half of them should have been free throws.
Probably. But I just, you know, I love the love that he's getting. So it would be cool if he got a major award like that. So I'm rooting for Austin Reeves. So I like that pick.
We're going to move on to Rookie of the Year next?
Sure. Yeah, let's move on. You can start us off.
So I think there's been one player that came out hot, Paolo Banchero. You know, he came out, I think he was the most pro-ready body.
Yeah.
Pro-ready. That's why he came out to such a hot start. But he's really slowed down. Like, I want to say a lot. Like, slowed down a lot. He made, I don't know if he made a three in January.
I don't think so. I think he made one.
He made, maybe made one. So it's, that hurts his case a lot. I don't think he hasn't really progressed. He came in hot. And he rode that hot streak till All-Star break, and then I think maybe people found out that
it's plateauing. Kind
yeah, like I don't think people are really catching up. But you have players like Jabari who are heating up.
Right.
He's been putting up great games, great big game winners, stuff
game
like
winner.
That.
Fading in the corner, turnaround,
and
looking like LeBron versus the Wizards a couple years ago when he had that big shot.
He's coming alive. He's probably the best defender in the rookie class.
I was comparing him. Like I think I sent you a text the other day. I was like watching Jabari play. It's like offensively he's kind of like Paul George, but defensively he's like Paul George but Jaren Jackson into one. Like he can cover so much ground, and like his recovery time, like there was a clip, I forgot who he was guarding, but he literally let him get by him just so he could block him at the rim. And I just thought it's the Houston Rockets will be a scary team once they figure it out. They have so much talent, like it's scary. Like
I think they need a point guard.
I do too, but I don't think you need a big-time point guard. I just think you need, like, a veteran leadership point guard who can get the people, like a Chris Paul, like, and like in this state.
Kind of, yeah.
Work. But Jabari's, like, really come onto the scene, and credit to him. Like, I think a lot of people were starting to, like wait till next year and try to see, like, to see that jump. But, like, he's clearly shown, like, he's here for right now, and he can compete right now at the highest level. And, like, by God, you're seeing a superstar on the
for sure. But
him and Jalen Green.
To give you my Sixth Man of the Year pick, I was going to go Keegan Murray because, you know, he broke the
rookie
record. But I don't think you can just discuss J-Dub, Jalen Williams from the OKC Thunder and be like, ah, whatever. So my rookie of the year pick is Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams. That's a good pick. I actually, man, like, that's another thing. Like, you talk about the Rockets core and like, the OKC Thunder have a really nice core.
They do. They have a great core.
I know I said, like, Jabari's a superstar in the making, but SGA is a superstar now.
Yeah.
And I think that's crazy. I think him and then I'm blanking on what's the shooting guard's name? Australian.
Giddy.
Giddy. Yeah, he's really nice, too. I couldn't think of his name. Excuse me for that. But he's coming along really well. Lou Dort's looking really, like, he's a role player, but he knows his role, like, you know.
Okay. He knows his role defensively. I feel like offensively, he thinks he's Curry.
He gets a little, like, you know, carried away.
Yeah. He's like the Dylan Brooks of the Thunder.
Yeah.
Except without the attitude.
It's so funny. Like, just a quick story. Like, one time I made I was just trying to, like, do a little bet real quick. Mm-hmm. And then I bet, like, Lou Dort to score, like, 50 because he always goes off just randomly.
Yeah.
And then I think that night he scored, like, 5. But the next game he dropped – like 49.
That's crazy.
And I was like, of course. But
the one time you don't get on.
But that's just a little short story. But yeah, I think Jalen Williams definitely deserves consideration. And I think, like you said, Keegan Murray has been huge for the Kings. And like I said, I think a lot of Kings player could win like any amount of these awards, like honestly. But yeah, I think for my pick though, I'm gonna go Paulo just because he came out so strong.
Okay.
And
I'm not upset with that.
Yeah, it's just like he had such a strong start where I feel like other guys are still trying to catch up. But and it's close. I think it's kind of like – it's not as close as the MVP race, but it's starting to get closer. So, but I just think Paulo has done so much. And I think when you look at the Magic team, you're like, oh, wow, this is actually – like they can win. Like, you know, like it's not like –
in a couple of years.
Yeah, but you see the potential is what I'm saying. Like,
okay.
It's not where the Kings are at now,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like, okay, I can kind of see like how they can make that jump in a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Markelle Fultz looks really good.
He does look like he's coming back. Yeah. I do like that for Markelle.
Yeah, so that's my pick, but I like Jalen Williams a lot. I really do think he's an underrated pick, and I do think he probably will come in second if he doesn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Walker Kessler because like, I think that needs to be mentioned. For the last one, real quick, I think we have Coach of the Year. And let's just knock this out real quick. We can just do Coach of the Year real quick.
Yeah, we can do Coach of the Year. For my Coach of the Year, Mike Brown out of Sacramento. He's just done remarkable things, ending the longest playoff drought in sports history. Well, sports as of now.
Yeah.
So
what, since 2005, right? Or 2003 or 2005?
It was somewhere around there. I think it was – Go ahead and give yours.
My original pick was Chauncey Billups, but then when the Kings started making a little run earlier this season, I want to say like 3 weeks in, I changed it to Mike Brown. So we're on the same page on that.
Okay, yeah. So, 2005, 2006 season was the last time they made the playoffs.
Okay, yeah. So, well, again, we're all on the same page right there. But with that being said, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to give our predictions for the playoffs and any hot takes for the upcoming rest of the season.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. You are listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. And we're going to get started with, I guess, our all-NBA teams. We're just going to give a quick rundown. So let's just start with our first all-NBA teams.
You can go first.
All right. Well, this is not what I actually think the predictions are going to be, but this is just my first teams, and I'm just going to go quick. So at guard, I'm going to go Damian Lillard.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. No, this is going to get a reaction.
That's going to be.
Yeah. The reason I say that is because he was going off the whole month, like while Curry was out. He has 260 point games this year, and he's had played more games than Steph. I know they're not nearly as good, but like the Warriors have more pieces than the Trailblazers, and I just feel like Dame never gets credit for his season, so I'm gonna give him the proper credit.
That's wild.
So I'm sorry. I'm gonna give it to Dame, but. Second guard, I'm going to give it to Luka. I'm going to keep it normal. Well, I'm going to keep it normal. I'm going to be Luka. All right, forward. Yeah, forward's going to be Giannis. I'm going to keep it simple. Other forward, Tatum. center, Embiid.
Okay. So you have Jokic as your MVP, but Embiid as your first team center.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Just because, like I told you, I think Jokic is going to get the second or third place votes, and he's going to win it and be MVP. But I think Embiid's going to be first team. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought about this.
That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's a hot take, but it's possible.
I don't have a problem with your forwards, I'm not going to lie. Okay. Your guards are, like, wow. But
You go your guards for your first
team. All right, your guard. I went with Luka.
Okay.
And Donovan Mitchell as my guards.
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
I think Donovan Mitchell with that 7-point game just, I don't want to say it solidified it, but he's been so consistent with the Cavs that highlight after highlight, I don't think you can just not give him first team. Luka's Luka, you know. My forwards are Tatum and Giannis. I think that's respectable. That's obvious. And Joel Embiid is my center. So
okay.
So I think that's kind of normal.
Yeah, we're kind of close, except...
Except your blasphemous Damian Lillard thing.
I don't think it's that... I don't think it's that.
No, it's crazy.
Was he not killing like the whole last like
for a month?
Yeah, it was pretty. He was for going a month off, though.
I think Corey Brewer went off for a month. Did that give him first team?
He was also going off before they shut him down, before he got injured, because early in the season I had that other blasphemous take where I said him for MVP early.
I know.
But I'm continuing off that point, so I'm going to keep rewarding Dame Lillard. But going to second All NBA team, this is where I give Steph his credit. Steph. As guard.
I don't think I have Steph in any team.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I don't. I think that might be blasphemous, but I'm gonna go with Steph at guard. Second guard, I'm gonna go with SGA.
Okay.
Forward, Jimmy Butler. My other forward, it's gonna be kind of questionable here, but give me LeBron. I just really like what LeBron had. Like, I think he was the most consistent for the Lakers.
I think he's the most consistent when he plays, but exactly. He doesn't play.
I know. Yes, that's the only question on it. He's played. I think he's played 40 games, like, or 45 games or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not low, but I mean, it's pretty low. But
it's pretty low.
Yeah, I meant to say it's pretty low, but you know. Yeah, I mean, they're almost in the playoffs. I mean, they're not far out.
They're almost in the playoffs?
I mean, like, they're in the play-ins.
Oh, my goodness. They're almost in the playoffs, so he deserves the play-in. He deserves the second team.
I mean, hey. I mean, for what they had started with and then the trades and then the injury he's going to come back to. He's coming back from injury. I told you he's going to come back ridiculously early. Like, and like what the doctor said, it's the quickest recovery we've ever seen from that surgery or like procedure. But anyway, so that's – and then center Nikola Jokic. That's my second team.
Okay. My second team is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay.
SGA. De'Aaron Fox as my guards.
Okay.
I don't think you can just discredit De'Aaron Fox the way people do. He's had a great season, leading them to the playoffs. Jaylen Brown, I think he's had a really great year. I think he gets disrespected a lot, honestly.
Honestly, I like that pick over LeBron. I want to change mine.
Yeah.
You convinced me.
And then Pascal Siakam as my last forward. I think he's had a very underrated year. It's just because he's on a bad team.
They're 500, though. I think they're 48-48. Oh, no. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can... He's not on a terrible team, but it's still like the Raptors are usually a pretty good team every year.
Right. Like below expectations.
Yeah. But I still think Pascal is doing his thing, and then Jokic is my center.
Okay. I think we have kind of similar, the same mindset, right?
Kind of similar. Yeah. Just, I don't know about your hot takes.
So, my third All NBA team, now this is where I have Donovan Mitchell. And that's my guard. Then I have De'Aaron Fox as my other guard. So I do give him some credit. My forward, I have Lauri Markkanen. I think he deserves some love. Kevin Durant, I also have. He's played more games than LeBron, so I think from what I just said, this one kind of sounds a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go Kevin Durant. And then my center, because I think he's literally the third best center in the NBA, I'm going to go with Sabonis.
Okay.
So I think the Kings, the Kings have two third All NBA players. They're almost the second seed, and then fall to the third seed this last previous week. So, I'm gonna give them some love.
Okay, so I agree with the Sabonis pick, but my guards are Kyrie Irving and Ja Morant. I think Kyrie's had a really great year that gets overlooked because of all the turmoil that went on with the Nets and then the switch to the Mavs and stuff like that. But people don't know he actually has the most fourth quarter points.
Okay, that's a good pick.
So I still want to say Kyrie and Ja Morant. I think Ja Morant's had a great year, but again, it gets overshadowed by his antics off the court.
Yeah.
Which who he tries to portray someone that I don't want to say he's not, but we think it's all known.
Yeah, we don't know him, but yeah.
But
Seems unauthentic.
Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
And Jaren Jackson Jr. are my forwards.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I don't hate that. I like the Jaren Jackson. We were talking about him for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't hate that.
And then Sabonis is my center.
Okay.
I think Jaren Jackson Jr. deserves to be on there because of his defense.
Defense. Yeah. And plus, I do think for that time Ja was out, I do feel like he was just going off. I'm not mad at that. I think we have both have some really good all-NBA teams. I'm curious to see what the actual
results
will be.
I am very interested in that because a lot of people tend to get snubbed.
Yeah, and like Devin Booker is going to be an interesting one. Like I think Devin Booker, you can make a conversation. Drew Holiday is going to be an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. Like we already talked about, Jimmy Butler is going to be a weird conversation.
I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to make it, honestly.
Yeah, that's I think another one that might be a little strange, but we'll see what happens.
I'm excited.
So let's take a look into like some of the NBA storylines. Are there any NBA storylines you kind of want to talk about?
So one that I popped up in my head was the Kyle Lowry one. There was a storyline coming out that the Heat were not expecting to get this version of Kyle Lowry. They thought they were going to get the all-star point guard. And that brings me back to the time when I was sitting in lunch in high school on trade deadline day hoping the Sixers got Kyle Lowry. I am so happy we did not trade for him because after seeing what's been going on with him, he looks like a shell of himself.
Yeah.
He really has lost, I don't say they lost the ability to shoot, but he's not as consistent as a shooter.
Yeah, he wasn't even that consistent. Well, he was in the regular season, but playoff time?
Yeah, no, playoff time, yeah. He was a liability on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't think, he lost his defense.
Step slow.
He's just slow now. He lost his, little quick step. I really don't see him, I don't want to say I don't see him in the league much longer, but I could see him being gone really soon.
He probably won't be a starter.
Yeah.
For much longer.
Unless I don't think he's going to be a starter if he comes back.
Yeah.
I think he already lost a spot, honestly.
Do you? Where do you see the Miami Heat going? Do you have them rebuilding, or do you have them trading Jimmy Butler, or do you have them it's a weird situation because now they're finally, because usually Miami is a step ahead, it feels like. But this is the first time where it's been a while where they're just kind of in the mud. And it's they can't get out of it. And, they're just treading water.
Well, that's what we thought when, I think it was Dwayne Wade's last year.
Yeah.
They had no cap space, and they were like, oh, man, there's not much they can actually do.
But they had Hassan Redick. He just dropped 46 in Puerto Rico.
Hassan Redick.
Not Hassan Redick. Hassan Whiteside. Yeah, that's what I meant.
I was like, Hassan Redick? Isn't he a pass rusher?
Yeah, I just...
Hassan Whiteside. Swing and a miss. Speaking of Hassan Whiteside... Let's talk about these contracts the Heat are just giving out.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. They still have that Duncan Robinson contract.
Horrible.
I don't think they're ever going to get off of it.
Horrible. They watch a player do good for maybe a year, and they're like, let's just throw him all our money.
He was their focal point during that finals run because he kept just doing run around, shoot threes. But then
they found out he can't play any defense.
Yeah, and then teams found out how to go at him, and then now it's just a liability. Now you have no cap room. Then you just play Tyler Herro, a max contract. You got Jimmy Butler. I think Bam has a max contract as well.
Or if he doesn't have a max, then he's going to request one because it's Bam.
And then Kyle Lowry still has a good chunk, which...
Kyle Lowry is a fat contract, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But so I was saying, because you asked if they were going to rebuild, I would say yes. I think Butler's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard.
Where would you want to see Butler go?
Back to Philly, but
I would love that, please.
But I really don't know, honestly. I think he could go back to Chicago. I think that's an open option.
It wouldn't be bad, but I feel
think
like,
any of the LAs.
I think
not the Lakers. Not the Lakers. I don't think.
I think either Zach or DeMar's gone though.
Awesome. Yeah, no, most definitely. Wait. I actually could see him going down to
Charlotte.
No, not Charlotte. Either Houston or Dallas, honestly. Because he spends a lot of time in Texas. He's from Texas.
Right. That's right. Dallas would be very nice.
I would like to see him. I think he might go to Dallas. I think that's a good little option. Tough.
Luka Doncic and Jimmy Butler. Because Kyrie's gone, I think.
You think so?
Yes.
I feel like there's been some I think rumors swirling that he might stay.
I think they're going to trade Chris Paul. Well, I would be surprised if he stayed. But I think they would get off of Chris Paul's contract, and I think they would bring in Kyrie. I think that KD-Kyrie experiment's not over yet.
I don't know. I feel like after what he did, it might be over.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But it's an interesting storyline to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm.
One of the storylines I want to talk about is there's rumors of Nick Nurse leaving the Raptors and going to Houston.
Leaving willingly or being fired?
Probably mutual.
Mutual, yeah.
I don't really can see the Raptors firing Nick Nurse.
Yeah, that is true.
But I can also see, but I also can't really see Nick Nurse just quitting. So I can feel like it would just be like, this isn't working. Players aren't responding.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just test, like, maybe get a better offer. But I'm saying this because I know that Houston's not going to keep Stephen Silas.
Yeah, it does suck because they just threw Stephen in the fire.
Yeah.
But...
And, like, I don't think he was expecting this kind of rebuild
mm-hmm.
where he has, like, no...
I don't want to say no say, but, like...
Yeah. And then, like, all the players that you came in with are...
Gone.
Yeah.
You had DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall...
Yeah.
James Harden...
Eric Gordon at the time.
Eric Gordon. I think so. Was Christian Wood there, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had all those players. Victor Oladipo was there.
I forgot about that, yeah.
And they're all gone now, so...
It's a weird situation, but like
I don't think that job is very attractive.
I do, because I like the core. I think it's not attractive from the front office perspective, like the mm-hmm. ownership. But that core, Jalen Green, I really like Jalen Green.
I very dislike Jalen Green. I've heavily dislike Kevin Porter Jr.
I'm not so much a fan of Kevin Porter Jr. and his shot selection and stuff like that, but I'm talking just from the core aspect of Jalen Green and Jabari and Alex Sengun. Is that how you say his
Sengun.
Last name? Sengun.
I like Sengun.
I like those young players. And then Kenyon Martin Jr. Like is a good.
He's good. He's a nice piece,
he's a
but
good role player.
For me,
Tyrese Eason.
Tari Eason's pretty good, yeah.
And then like Josh Christopher, I don't think he's not good, but like in yet, but like. But I also think that's because of the coaching. I think he doesn't like... There's a video of him getting, like, mocking Stephen Silas when he gets subbed out. Like, because Stephen Silas is clapping, and then, like, as soon as he rocks behind Stephen Silas, he's, like, clapping, like...
See, that's the thing with his team.
It's just young.
It's young, but I think a lot of people are just so ignorant on that team or arrogant. It's like, I think Jalen Green, he's been the pretty boy all his life. You know, he's been the flashy guy who goes around. It's my team. I'm going to shoot whatever I want to shoot. Pass the ball when I feel like shooting. So I feel like when you get on a team like a team in the NBA, I don't really think he's going to work like that because we've seen him play basketball. He's a very talented player, very talented.
He's got a wild layup package. And
he does, but he shoots everything he touches, really.
I think that's what it's going to be. Like, that's the next level for him. I think it's just a...
He's got to develop.
Yeah, the mental part
yeah.
of the game. But that's actually going to get me to my next like suggestion. I think Ime Udoka, it's definitely going to be a good selection as well. I think if he can, I don't know what the Boston Celtics situation is,
mm-hmm.
but I do feel like if they let him go because they hired the full-time, part-time coach now, Joe Musiala,
yeah.
I think if they decided to part ways with Ime Udoka like they did, Houston would be a great place because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have all spoken to his leadership and his ability to gain leadership from a team, and I think that's what's needed in Houston. With that being said, we're going to go to break real quick, and then when we come back, we're going to have our finals predictions and a whole lot more.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back on the student section this Friday night on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. We're going to get back into our NBA conversation a little bit, but I think an interesting topic we should talk about since we're here at the University of Alabama is that the SEC Player of the Year and Freshman Player of the Year, our very own Brandon Miller, has decided to declare for the NBA draft. Now, Bleacher Report has him probably as, I think, I want to say that number fourth prospect overall.
Fourth?
I think so.
Who's third?
I'm not for sure. I didn't take a look, but I think he was fourth on it was either Bleacher Report's or NBA's mock draft.
Right? Okay.
But with that being said, where do you see the best? Not where he's gonna go, because that's kind of hard to tell right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what team would you like to see him on, or what team do you think has a good chance of getting him and has a good fit for him? Is a good fit for him.
So I'm gonna just talk about the first four teams, first four picks. And the picks I'm going to talk about are, well, the Rockets, of course, they have their pick. They're the second worst team in the league. Let me go from worst to best. So with the worst overall pick, it's the Pistons. Mm. They are 16-60. And I forgot to mention, but I'm pretty sure now it's the worst three teams. They all fight. They all like have the same amount, like same percentage wise,
right,
the number one overall pick, you know, to help stop tanking or whatever. So to fight for the first overall pick, it would be the Pistons 16-60, the Rockets 18-59, and the Spurs 19-57. And then the fourth pick would be the Hornets with 26-51. So for me, out of those teams, I would honestly love to see Brandon Miller on the Pistons.
Okay.
I think the Pistons would be a great pick. Well, one, it's hard to say, because if they get the one pick, they're most likely picking Victor Wembanyama, even though they have three starting caliber centers with Jalen Duren, James Wiseman, and Isaiah Stewart.
That didn't really stop them. Well,
but it's Victor.
Yeah.
It's Victor Wembanyama, one of the best prospects we've seen in 20 years.
Some people are saying ever.
Ever. 7'5" center who can do everything.
So why do you really like that fit, though?
So I think they have the centers. They have the centers. They have the size. They have Cade Cunningham, a great point guard. They have good prospects everywhere. I want to say except the wings.
Right.
The wings, I feel like, are their weak spot after trading Sadiq Bey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think getting a high-caliber player like Brandon Miller who can score at all three phases and also defend would help boost that team up so much. Their coach is the old Raptors coach. What's his name?
Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne Casey, yes. I think he's a great defensive coach. I really do. The Raptors had a great defense when he was with them.
You saw how he made Toronto a franchise.
With the wings.
Right.
So I think the wings play a big factor. I think Brandon Miller will be a great fit because he's a wing that's long and versatile and can score anywhere on the court and defend, I want to say, 1 through 4 positions.
Could you imagine that team, like, just size-wise? You have James Wiseman, who's, like, what, 6'11", maybe 7 foot?
I think he's 7'1".
No, 7'1". Like, oh, but Cade Cunningham, 6'9", like, point guard. James Ivey, is he 6'5", or 6'4"? James, like, he's pretty Jaden Ivey. I'm not James. I want to say he's, like...
Wiseman, 7 foot. Jaden Ivey...
Yeah. I want to say he's, like, 6'5".
He's 6'4".
6'4", okay. But it's still
still big.
Yeah, and so you have, like, you have Cade, and then you have Ivy, and then you will have a 6'9". Miller, yeah.
And then you probably have Bogdanovich.
Exactly.
And then
you have, like we just said, Wiseman, who was a steal for them in that trade, by the way.
I really do think it was.
So good for the Pistons. I mean, like, really, the assistant general manager coming over from OKC, mm-hmm. I'm blanking on his name, but he's doing a phenomenal job in Detroit. The team I actually want to see him on is actually Charlotte. I'm going to make the case for the Hornets.
Okay.
With Michael Jordan allegedly on his way out and selling his majority ownership, I think somehow the energy is just going to change in that building.
Really?
And I think there's not a better way with that change with Brandon Miller, because their franchise player is LaMelo Ball. One thing, if you saw LaMelo Ball, as we have seen, because we've watched him grow up through social media and through, like, his games. Like, remember when he broadcasted against Zion, that AAU game? I don't know if you watched that, but that was a pretty big deal. Like, I'm just saying, like, we've seen him play in these type of big games. But what type of style did he play? It was run and gun. It was Chino Hills basketball, just fast court, fast pace. And I think if the Hornets get LaMelo Ball with a shooter and someone like who can actually play defense,
mm-hmm.
like because the Hornets need help defensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
With their head coach Steve Clifford, that's all he's known for, like just trying to make that team better defensively. So I think if you get LaMelo that piece, that's going to be huge for them, because I think they're going to get rid of Gordon Hayward at some point. I think
mm-hmm.
and like you're going to have to – I think P.J. Washington is still a good fit for that team. I like P.J. Washington. I think Brandon Miller will not only help LaMelo, but I think he's going to help P.J. Washington.
Okay.
And I also think they haven't been hitting on too many draft picks recently.
They haven't at all.
Mostly a lot of
they go over a lot of potential, like James Bouknight, Kai Jones. It's a lot of like, oh, they have a lot of good attributes, but are they really good at the game?
But their center, I'm really high on their center, Duke, out of Duke.
Mark Williams.
Mark Williams. Yeah. He's really good. I think I'm high on him, but I think the Charlotte Hornets would be a great destination. I also think a great destination would be the Spurs, just because, like,
the Spurs would be a good pick.
That's like a perfect, like, Bruce Bowen type, potentially.
Yeah.
Like, kind of piece for Popovich in case they miss out.
Sohan and Williams.
Yeah.
Not Williams, Miller.
Yeah. So, in case, but I think that would be the case if they miss out on Wabanana. Would you take Miller over Scoot Henderson?
No.
You wouldn't? You like Scoot better?
I do like Scoot better. I think he has, you know, he can jump out of the gym. He can do all, he's a great facilitator.
I think he's a day one player.
I think he is too. The only knock I really have on Brandon Miller is, I don't know how to say it, but he, like, the big games.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's really performed like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's played really well against lesser competition.
Mm.
But we could go back to the UNC game at the start of the year. He didn't have a good game. The tournament, he didn't have a good tournament. There were rumors he was injured, which I don't fault him. You know, he's still a great player.
Right.
But there's been times where, I don't know, against greater competition, he's kind of been, I guess, I don't want to say shut down, but like,
right. It's kind of like
quieted.
It's kind of like how the people are making noise about Miles Murphy in the NFL draft. Like, a lot of people are saying he's like a top five pick, but he goes to Clemson, and sometimes we didn't see him go off like to his potential against the greatest competition.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, where you're coming from there.
But I still think he's a top three prospect.
Oh, absolutely. I do too. I think it'd be asinine if he doesn't go top three. What other storylines did you want to talk about?
So I always wanted to talk about like the playoff seeding right now and some of the storylines of that. And I think the most interesting one right now is you look at the Kings. They made the playoffs for the first time in
16 years.
You know, Mike Brown, old Warriors assistant coach. That's going to be exciting for them to finally do it on his own.
Took LeBron to his first finals, too.
But guess what? Guess who they play, as the seeding is right now? The Golden State Warriors. Mike Brown coming home to Golden State. The Warriors without Andrew Wiggins, who hopefully all is well and good. I've heard a lot of stuff. I don't know if it's – I doubt it's true.
We don't have to get on to that.
But it's just like – I feel like it's a big matchup. You have the dynasty versus.
Are you saying you're going to pick the Warriors for like a potential upset?
No.
Okay, so you're still going to go with the Kings? Okay, I'm with you. I actually like the Kings too against the series.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that scares me is kind of how I related to last year in the finals. I thought the reason I would pick the Kings this year is because they're young, and like as you saw last year in the finals, there were times where Golden State looked very vulnerable. Like you saw, like game when Steph Curry went off, and like in Game 6 when the Celtics had the lead and they blew it, their inexperience showed. And
that is true.
This is a younger team, the Kings, so I feel like they're going to be young, and it's going to be different. So I don't know what to expect, but at the same time, I feel like Mike Brown, he's been to the finals as assistant coach, when took LeBron there. Like he's been to the finals before, and I feel like this Kings team is just so hungry that they're going to get it done.
Light that beam.
Yeah, light the beam. And what a great branding idea for them, whoever did that.
Needs a raise.
So what do you think about if Denver faces the Suns? Because right now, I think that they're matched up in the first round.
No, the Suns are the 4 seed right now.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're going to match up the second round, I think.
Yeah. So, honestly, I think the Suns will beat them.
I do, too.
I'm going to be completely honest. The Nuggets, they will never be able to win a championship with Jokic.
I wouldn't go that far. I think if they find a two-way wing, because Jamal Murray, I don't know. That's going to be a hot take. I don't know if Jamal Murray can be your second guy.
I don't think he can.
After that ACL injury, he's getting back there. He's not there yet. Like Clay's still coming back, but I don't know. I just don't like.
I don't think Jokic. I don't think Jokic will win the championship if he's that main guy that you need to rely on.
I think he needs like a
He needs more people.
I think he needs like a Jalen Green type. Not like once he gets
No, 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 no.
He needs, like a scoring wing is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, but don't say Jalen Green like he's that good.
But I know, but you know, but that's what I'm talking about. Just someone crazy athletic and then like can, like you know, Jason Tatum's a good point.
There we go.
Or Jalen Brown.
There we go. Let's go from Jalen Green to Jalen Brown.
Yeah, let's go to Jalen Brown. That's a good one. Because he actually, you know, he came out saying that like he doesn't like he likes Boston, but sometimes he feels like he doesn't fit. Yeah, so that's an interesting. Would you like that if Jalen Brown went to the Nuggets?
I would think that's a championship caliber team. I don't think it's a championship caliber team right now. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't think the Nuggets are a championship caliber team. I think they'll be lucky if they get out of the first round. Honestly.
All right. I have a. Can I make a hot prediction for you?
Let's go.
You're not gonna like this.
Let me hear it.
I have the Cavs making the Eastern Conference Finals.
Again, Sue.
I haven't looked at the seeding, but that's what.
So you were just like, Cavs, whatever.
No, because I think if they get hot, I think they're going to get super confident, and I think they can beat like almost any team that gets in their way, unless it's the Bucks. But I don't think they're going to
match the Sixers.
I don't think they're going to match up with the Bucks. I don't know. The Sixers are weird. Like, you know, being a Sixers fan, you know how I feel about it.
I mean, yeah. So I do feel that, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. As a Sixers fan,
this is the best team.
I'm going to try and be unbiased as I can. Let me just look at the top 10 teams in the East. Bulls, we're sweeping them. Raptors, we're sweeping them. Hawks, we're sweeping them. Heat, we might win in 5. Nets, I'm a little worried about just their wings and stuff like that. Wings scare me. Like the Raptors, I would say we win in 5 or 6. If we're winning in 5, the Raptors aren't good. The Nets, that. 5 or 6, the Wings scare me. Mikal Bridges, Knicks. I think that's a sweep or gentleman sweep. Cavs, I'll give us a win in 6.
The Cavs scare me though because if
size,
if Mitchell gets hot,
okay. If Mitchell gets hot, yes.
Well, let me tell you, this is why they scare me. If Mitchell gets hot, if Darius Garland gets hot, Tobias Harris flames out.
Okay.
Jared Allen slow like doesn't make Embiid like makes him like average.
Okay.
And then James Harden just disappears or just gets injured.
So what you're telling me is you need this to happen, 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 this to happen.
But how many?
All just to beat the Sixers.
How much is like? But that's very likely though. Like,
Jared Allen has never been able to stop Joel Embiid ever. We can look at any game.
Not stop him, but slow him down. I think he's.
He just put up 40 against Jared Allen.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying playoff basketball. Like
I get it's different.
The Nets series against when we played them with Ben Simmons was on the team. Like he didn't stop him. Like, he dominated, but, like, he still at times was, like, you know how physical they were being. I feel like that can
I think that's different from the Cavs and the Nets. Because the Nets, I was actually – I don't think we won that season series. I think we actually lost that – that was a team I was terrified of. I did not want them. But I think the Cavs is different because Garland is good. He can't defend.
Right.
Mitchell's good. He's not that good a defender.
But he can score.
We have De'Anthony Melton and Jalen McDaniels. Who can defend? I'm not saying they're going to stop him.
Yeah.
Slow him down, maybe at best. But we have the MVP, league leader in scores.
I know.
League leader in assists.
But he can't do it by himself. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying we have 5 different players.
Do you think Tobias Harris is going to flame out this year?
I don't think he's going to flame out. I don't think he's going to be like... great. I think he's going to be the 4th best player, which he's supposed to be.
And I'm still really high on Evan Mobley. I think he doesn't get talked about.
I think Evan Mobley's going to be a great player. I think he's already a great player, but
Caris
I think
LeVert.
He's too. All right. Next, because Caris LeVert scored 1 point in a game. I'm not worried.
Yeah, but he also scored 40 points in, like, wasn't in the playoff game, like with the Nets.
Again.
He's like the bench.
It's Caris LeVert.
But I'm saying the bench. I think.
Again, it's Caris LeVert.
Hey,
if you have to rely on Caris LeVert, that's like us relying on George Niang to win a game. Come on.
No, I don't think so. Caris LeVert can get his own shot better than George Niang.
I mean, that's a case, but he's a bench player who's coming off the bench to like as a seventh man who might get hot.
But he could start I would say on 80% of teams he could start.
Yeah, 80% of teams aren't making the playoffs.
That's true. You got me there.
All right. So against the Bucks, I think we match up really well against the Bucks.
Okay.
I think our size.
I like the Bucks. I like the Bucks matchup.
The only team I'm worried about that I think we might have struggle with is the Boston Celtics, and they have looked very human recently.
For some reason, I'm not worried about the Celtics this year.
But as I say, they looked very like human, like, you know, yeah. normal. They beat the Bucks by 40. Yeah. So that kind of worries me.
With a grain of salt, right?
So let's hear yours, and then we got to go soon.
Yeah, no. So my last thing, and we can just wrap this up. It's not really about the playoffs, but mm-hmm. it's just like a direction of a franchise, and it's just with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Do you think the Hawks should move on from Trae Young? Because the reason I make this, he's kind of a coach killer. He's been through, like, what, 3 different coaches now since he's been in the league.
He actually has.
Yeah, and then there's reports that his teammates don't really like playing with him sometimes or get frustrated playing with him, mm-hmm. like John Collins. And, like, I don't know if Hunter said it publicly, but I think I was on Reddit. And
you're just on Reddit, like,
I'm not going to say that's a verified source. But and then sometimes, you know, he's a defensive liability and hero ball. So I just asking the question, do you think they should blow it up?
Yes.
I don't think they're going to make it any further in the playoffs.
I think Trae Young, you cannot build your team around Trae Young.
I'm starting to get there, too.
Because he's too small. He's, what, 5'10"?
Yeah. I think 6 foot, actually. But
we'll give him 5'10", 6 foot.
5'5"? Would you rather drop him down to 5'5"?
But it's like his whole game is it's either shooting long threes, which he can make, or driving to the hoop. Stop, jump into somebody, and then get a foul.
Yeah.
It's not always going to work. So that's why you see people getting frustrated now, and he's not having the same kind of year he had. So I think it's time for them to move on. I don't think he's that good of a player.
I say you give it half a season with Quinn Snyder next year, and then you blow
I think
it up.
DeJounte Murray's a better player.
Yeah, honestly. I actually like that. And I think he fits the city better. Like,
yeah, I think you should build more around DeJounte.
Yeah. On that note, I think we're going to get ready to head out of here. Thank you for listening to the student section on WBA.
Adios, mis amigos.
90.7 The Capstone. You all have a good night. See you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.